He came to power pledging to defeat Boko Haram. But since Muhammadu Buhari became president, the militants have stepped up their killing spree. The general's under pressure to act decisively, but Amnesty International claims his army has already killed thousands of innocent people in its quest to defeat Boko Haram. So what is the evidence, and how should the president respond?
Nigeria's military has long been embarrassed by its failure to deal with Boko Haram. It's been hampered by a lack of leadership, morale, and equipment. And according to Amnesty International, in its desperation to end the insurgency, the army has committed massive human rights abuses. In its report, Stars on Their Shoulders, Blood on Their Hands, Amnesty accuses Nigerian commanders of participating in or failing to prevent the deaths of 8,000 civilians who've been murdered, starved, suffocated, and tortured to death. The human rights body has asked Mr. Buhari to investigate what it calls incontrovertible evidence and prosecute those responsible. But while the president has promised to do so, some senior Nigerian officials have accused Amnesty of being on the side of Boko Haram. The rising death toll and this latest row leave many Nigerians worrying whether Mr. Buhari really has what it takes to fulfill his biggest election pledge.
That is the big question. Hello, I'm Henry Bonsu, and this is Africa Today. And with me in the studio to discuss Nigeria's army in the dock are Jenny Okafor, president of Nigerian Women in Diaspora Leadership Forum, and Ben Oguntala from Security in Africa. And joining us on the line from Lagos is the journalist Sam Olukoya. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
And we'll start off with you, Sam, since you're in a position to know what's on the ground. What response has there been in Nigeria among the armed forces, among civil society, and indeed the media, to this particular report, which is incredibly well-sourced, according to Amnesty International?
Well, let me take it from the army first, which, since they are the ones that are primarily concerned with this report. The army had reacted very angrily to this report, that more or less talking about sabotage, that it was designed to paint them in very bad light and to more or less sabotage their fight against Boko Haram. And then some Nigerians have actually sided with the army that the report wasn't presented in very good light, that it would have been more appreciated if reports like this on human rights violations were done on Boko Haram, that whatever the case, Boko Haram had committed more human rights abuses than the Nigerian army. And why is the focus more on the Nigerian army than on Boko Haram?
Well, perhaps, Sam Olukoya, because the armed forces are a professional fighting unit which adhere to the Geneva Convention, whereas Boko Haram is an insurgency, a militancy, which likes to spill blood, does not care about human life. One holds one to a higher standard than the other.
Yes, you're right. I'm just saying what people are saying, yeah, generally, because it went to an extent that there was even demonstrations against the report. I appreciate very well that the military is bound by the Geneva Convention, and that convention does not in any way allow for the kind of human rights violations that were alleged to have been exhibited by the Nigerian military.
The Nigerian army, and in fact its spokesman, Major General Chris Olukolade, seems to be extremely angry that five Nigerian military, very senior military, major generals were named, including Major General John Iwanshia and Major General Obida Enthan. They have been named directly. What response has there been to that?
Well, it still ties down to the larger issue of violation. There's Major General Ihejirika, who was also mentioned in that report, and people from the eastern part of Nigeria. I mean, if you listen to Biafra Radio, this is one of the things they say on that radio, that it's a plan against Igbo officers who have served in that part of the country. So the reaction to some extent has been one of anger that these people cannot be tried. But I must also say that we've also had some reactions from the human rights community and from civil society organizations who say the army ought to be held accountable for whatever it's doing, irrespective of the level of the condition under which they operate. They have to operate in such a way that the operation has a degree of respect for human rights and it has some human face to it.
Well, Sam Olukoya, for the moment, thank you very much. Jenny Okafor, President Buhari has said that respect for human life and is essentially the soul of the democratic system, and he's pledged to investigate these allegations. How reassured are you by that? Or are you, as a Nigerian in the diaspora, a bit concerned that he may now pull his punches and not go in as hard as he pledged to do against Boko Haram because he thinks the human rights community is watching him?
Well, I must say that I'm fairly confident that something is going to happen. He has made us a promise, as you introduced. He came in on the promise that he's going to do the first priority of every good leader, protecting the lives and properties of Nigerians. And we are looking up to him to do that. Of course, the Amnesty International report is quite inflammatory in the sense that my concerns, they didn't actually, I don't think that they did a lot of checking with the other side. They just took one side of the story and published it that way.
They say, if I can just pursue this, that they spoke to survivors of abuse, they spoke to witnesses of alleged abuse,
yes,
and they also spoke to soldiers, and of course, senior soldiers who are going to be turning in their colleagues.
Yeah.
It's difficult to name them, otherwise there'll be reprisals.
Yeah.
And they say this is a serious report, 130 pages, over 400 witnesses.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of who you have been talking to. I am one person who stands very strongly for human rights. The rights of human beings and human rights must be adequately protected in every society. And Nigerian government in the past have actually had the reputation of abuses, gross abuses of human rights. But on this particular occasion, since Amnesty International has gone in and carried out that investigation, I think that the onus is now on our president, as he promised, to look into it, investigate it thoroughly, and make sure that if anyone had actually acted beyond the remits of his duties or had actually committed acts of, you know, gross human rights abuse, they should actually be punished. Because if they actually deal with it that way, there will be confidence in the authorities. I'll give you a typical example. American soldiers went into Iraq. They did everything that they were not supposed to do.
Yeah.
They went into other countries. They did whatever they were not supposed to do. But America is pursuing them. Whoever was actually mentioned was thoroughly investigated. If they needed to be punished, if they needed to go to prison, they did, and the families were adequately compensated. So we need to begin to look at African lives that have value.
Mm-hmm.
And if the president really wants us to begin to believe that, he must not shy away from it because his officers are complaining.
Even though his officers don't have the right equipment, they don't have the money, morale is very, very bad. I'm going to turn to you, Ben Oguntala. Before I go back to you, Jenny Okafor, if you think about what's happened over the last 6 years since the Boko Haram insurgency began, the Nigerian authorities, the army principally, have detained over 20,000 people altogether, including boys of nine. They've gone too far, haven't they?
Yeah, to some extent, they have gone too far. But the question of human rights and armed forces in general is a topic that universally is actually just being addressed now.
Mm-hmm.
The atrocities committed by the American armed forces in Iraq is only just coming to light now because the evidence is just coming to light.
Mm-hmm.
So the culture of armed forces internationally has, to some extent, a very high degree of human rights abuses because it's those abuses they say give them the information that they need from the perpetrators or the alleged victims that they're trying to get the information from.
But as Jenny Okafor was saying, there has to be a willingness on the part of the investigating authorities to follow the trail wherever it goes. And since 2010, only 24 cases against Nigerian military, only 24 cases against people who've been detained have resulted in any real action. So people have been detained ad infinitum.
Mm-hmm. Precisely. But what I'm saying is let's compare the two. The armed forces, international armed forces that are mature in their systems and their ability to deal with situations like this are only in the last 5 to 10 years only coming to grips with how they should deal with it. Nigeria hasn't even had, or Africa as a whole, hasn't even had that opportunity to be able to put human rights abuses in parallel or in the same space as armed forces practices. So until you get...
What do you think that's about? Why do you think that is?
Culturally, we in Africa, we're used to the concept of violence as a means of showing power, which is why some of these leaders use the concept of the army as a means of suppressing any opposition to it, you know. And until that culture changes, I don't see the army who, like you said earlier, are underpaid, overworked, in the heat of Africa, dealing with the Boko Haram. They capture, they don't have the patience to interview and let you go through the process of preserving your human rights. They would rather beat the information out of you and get the confession.
Well, that's it, Sam Olukoya, what Ben Oguntala has said there. I suppose an attempt to understand the psyche of the soldier, all the way up maybe to the general. How much sympathy is there for that view that they're under massive pressure, hundreds of people are being killed every week, and they don't know where they're going with this battle against Boko Haram, so they overreach their powers?
Well, I've had a cause to interact with soldiers who are fighting over there, and the stories they tell you definitely evoke quite a lot of sympathy. The condition under which they fight. I mean, most times, if they are killed, their corpses are never recovered, at least some months back. It was that bad. They go to the war front, no ambulance, no medical facilities. If anybody is shot, he bleeds to death. That is the kind of story they tell you. They are overworked, they are underpaid. So the morale is extremely low, very, very low. And you have those who have been brought back on, to be tried. The condition under which these people were kept, I mean, many of them were kept underground. So when you have people fighting under this kind of condition, you can, to some extent, understand why they would behave the way they do.
And especially given the death toll, Sam Olukoya, 13,000 people dead in 6 years. Well, let's get some feedback from our viewers, because during the week, many of you have been posting your views on our Facebook page, so here are just a few of your comments. And we'll start off with this one from Naomi Seife Alemayu from Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, of course. And Naomi says, African governments get aggressive when you threaten them. A real change, suggested in Amnesty's report, is possible if Africans themselves stop killing each other and restore the honour and pride to black life. We have another post, this time from Nigeria, from Afunu Adeyemi, who says, I really believe that the Nigerian army has purposely been tolerating Boko Haram because of some conduit connections they may have. Why else has the powerful army failed so miserably in tackling the Boko Haram, who started out so small but are growing in power by the day? And then finally this from the USA, Albarka Hassana, who says, I see Amnesty's report as yet another Western tactic to cripple Africa's efforts to solve its own problems. Boko Haram is good for the West. It keeps us Africans divided and fighting within ourselves while they plunder our resources. Why this report now, when the president has just announced that he'll be tackling Boko Haram? And if you'd like to add your voice to the debate, here are just some of the ways in which you can do so. Well, let's pick up one or two of those points. And Jenny Okafor gave a massive sigh of, I don't know if it was indignation or here we go again, when you heard that third Facebook post from Al Barker in the USA, who said this is another Western tactic to cripple Africa's efforts to solve its own problems. Why do you sigh?
Well, I sigh because maybe because of the fact that I have lived in the West for a while, I can tell the difference about how much value we place on our lives and the value the West places on the lives of their own people. Mm-hmm. But from what he says, there's a bit of a point there, because I'm giving you a typical example. Something like a Burundi, it's brewing.
Yes.
It's going to happen soon. What is the West doing about it? Mm-hmm. They are actually just doing their own business and not doing anything. But African
Are you suggesting they should intervene?
They shouldn't. If it's not an intervention, it's not some sort of a physical intervention or military intervention. There has to be some serious talking. There has to be sanctions. They have to be seen as serious about what is going to happen, because the danger is looming.
Well, we have the African Union, and the African Union, several presidents got together, including the presidents of Rwanda, Uganda, Tanzania, and they were talking to the president of Burundi, Nkurunziza, and saying to him, be very careful about how you proceed. So African pressure is being brought to bear.
Well, that is not enough, because if that should be enough, then people like Amnesty International should not be reporting on things like that when they happen. This is actually the time for the West to get involved and then deal with it. We need to actually put our military against the Western military, because the training that they have in the West cannot be compared to the training they have in Nigeria. I have a great deal of sympathy for Nigerian soldiers, because as Ben said, they have been ill-trained, ill-equipped, ill-cared for. I can't see a British military soldier going to Iraq without food. They're not sure where the next food is going to come from. Somebody has got their money in their pocket. They're not giving them the money. They're not looking after their family.
And with all of this, sometimes the British soldiers still do abuse, as we've seen.
Exactly. So there is bound to be despondency, some level of despondency, some level of fear. And sometimes when these guys respond to Boko Haram and other people who they suspect to be members of Boko Haram or supporters of Boko Haram, it's out of fear. Because here I am trying to stop somebody who is so powerfully equipped that he can blow me out off in a second, and I have some antiquated weapon. What am I going to do? So it's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes.
It's not that they go out there to kill people. So if people in the West are going to look into these things, it is also very important that a lot of talking is done. We bring the training that we give to our military. They make sure that our leaders actually bring our military boys up to the level of their own military here, so that they are in a position to fairly and justly judge and condemn whatever they are doing. So, I understand that.
Well, let me put some of that to Ben Oguntala. Yeah. Jenny, essentially putting the ball in the West court and saying, look, it's all very well for you or your organizations like Amnesty to criticize our army, but you need to help us as well.
Yes, but they have been helping, but the question is, The problem I have with Amnesty's report is disingenuous, in the sense that when there was a Dutch investigation into Nigerian men who were defrauding Dutch women of money for love or for the perception of love, the Dutch television followed the Nigerian police into places in Lagos where, upon opening the door, the first exchange was a slap from the Nigerian police officer to the alleged suspects.
Yeah.
Now the question is, Amnesty International doesn't raise an eyebrow when there's an abuse of human rights at that level. Mm-hmm. So don't tolerate, if you're not going to tolerate abuse, don't tolerate it at all. You cannot have, close your eyes.
But to bring Amnesty International is not going to come in at that level. Amnesty International is investigating war crimes. And let's remember, to be fair to them, Baga in January, when around 2,000 people were killed, and they demonstrated using satellite imagery just what had happened in that particular town, and they condemned Boko Haram at that time.
I agree, but the question is, Amnesty International is telling us what every single Nigerian is going to look at that report and go, tell us what we don't know.
Yeah.
And what we don't know is, where is Boko Haram getting the funding from? Where is Boko Haram getting its arms from? Because it is the West. Africans are manufacturers of arms and AK-47s and bullets. Somebody in the West is fueling Boko Haram.
Well, it's not only the West where they manufacture arms. They manufacture arms in the East as well.
Precisely. Yeah, but the question is, they come to Africa via a prescribed route.
Yeah.
Amnesty International is telling us what we already know, but what it should do is tell us what we don't know, which is, how do we resolve this problem? There's no point beating up the guys who are working under the sun to fix Boko Haram's problem and saying it's human rights abuse.
But doesn't Nigeria have its own powerful national intelligence agency whose leader, I believe, has just been sacked, Aoki?
Yes. So the intelligence across Africa is antiquated, as Jenny pointed out earlier. The intelligence capability is so antiquated that they effectively follow Boko Haram. Mm. So Boko Haram has that significant advantage over, and most armed terrorism in Africa are significantly ahead of the armed forces, because they're dealing with an armed forces that is tired, and if to retire. To
and the intelligence is poor.
The intelligence is quite poor. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to you, Sam Olukoya, in Lagos. What do you think is going to happen next then? Because President Buhari said to Amnesty, I assure you your report will be looked into, as in seriously. But any evidence that that's going to happen? Meanwhile, the killings continue. Some say around 1,000 people, Nigerians, ordinary civilians, have been killed, particularly in the north of the country, since President Buhari came to power, was sworn in at the end of May.
I think that the president's priority will be how to defeat this insurgency. I don't know how much time an army that is very seriously bogged down under this very terrible condition. I don't know how much time and how much energy they can afford to spare on investigating issues that would not directly contribute to their success. What I think the army and the government will be doing will be to look at what would change the situation on the ground.
Is there any evidence, any sense that here we have a former military leader, an army man. He's a Muslim from the north of the country. He's supposed to know the terrain. Some people have even said he's a bit closer to them than he has admitted. Given all of that, is there any sense that there is a new strategy that President Buhari is employing or going to employ to finally defeat the menace of Boko Haram? Some people have even suggested an amnesty.
Unfortunately, Buhari has been there for about 5-6 weeks now.
Well, a bit longer than that, but yes.
It hasn't changed significantly. Although we have to agree also that the Boko Haram technique has also changed. They've changed from this technique of holding territory to this technique of hitting and running. And I think that would be very, very difficult to deal with when you have an insurgency that deals on just throwing bombs, going to the markets, going to the supermarkets, throwing bombs there. That's, for me, it's not so much a solution with the army. You would need a complete new orientation to deal with this kind of insurgency, which relies very heavily on guerrilla kind of tactics. And I think, I don't know whether the government is looking at this this aspect. If they feel that bringing in troops en masse to go and fight in that area would be the solution.
And meanwhile, Sam, sorry to cut you, but we're going to finish very shortly. Meanwhile, Jenny Okafor, the average Nigerian is concerned because security has not been returned to the people.
I mean, there's so much expectation on Buhari because of his background and the fact that he also comes from the north. But as far as I'm concerned, what we did not actually look into before we placed so much trust and the expectation on him was the fact that we were all looking at Boko Haram from outside.
Yeah.
We did not know what was inside. I'm sure that he has come in now. He's looking into it. It is not something he could just go out and order people to kill. If he sends people to go and kill, we will actually have bigger amnesty international report. So I think that people should be patient. Okay. He is possibly, you know, studying what is on ground, putting strategies in place. I am fairly confident that in a few weeks to come, we will be able to to restore peace.
A final
and stability
word,
in Nigeria.
Okay, thank you. Mm. Final word, Ben Oguntala. In a word, how confident are you?
I think my confidence would only grow if the president can introduce a new strategy. So far, it's history repeating itself.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Wow, what a show today. And that is all we have time for. Many thanks to all our guests. They were Jenny Okafor, Ben Oguntala, and on the line from Nigeria, Sam Olukoya. Till the same time next week, thanks again for watching and goodbye.